news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome back to That Awful Podcast. Kicking off another episode on morelikeradio.com as well as Rant Entertainment Radio or rantemradio.com. I hope you guys had a good week. Mine was actually exhausting to the point where I am just drained. No physical exhaustion or anything like that, but it was just like I'm like emotionally beat down. Absolutely sucks. but I'm still here for you guys, you know. I don't want to let you down by not being here. I'd rather let you down by giving you a shitty show. So, actually some big things happening in podcasting this week. And I do want to talk a little bit about it. A buddy of mine on morelikeradio.com, Joe Coletta, is starting up a Indiegogo account to fund a movie regarding podcasting called No Station Required. basically, it's going to be a look into the people who do internet radio and podcasts for free and their motivation behind it. Anybody who's listened to the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio knows his sense of humor and he's a funny guy. He's a very funny guy. Him and his hetero life mate, Dan. What's his last name? Dan DiMartino. Sorry, I have a friend named James DeQuattro who's having a birthday today. Happy birthday. And for some reason, I just completely blanked on Dan's last name. But Joe and Dan DiMarino putting this together right now, and it's got a lot of potential, man. I mean, this could be something really good. If you want the URL, it's tinyurl.com/nostationrequired. Also, you can head over to the Facebook page for my show, That Awful Podcast, and it'll be pinned to the top. So you can just click on it right there. You can go make a donation, and he's got some nice little perks in there, you know. You donate $5 and you get an awesome person credit, which means you get listed on the site as being a contributor. $10, you get the super awesome person credit, which means you get listed on the site and in the movie. And then for $25, you get a full HD download of the film. For $50, you get an outtakes bonus film. $100, you get a T-shirt and best of some of the shows that are premiered on that are featured in the movie. And, where is it over here? $500, you get an associate producer credit. You get everything that was listed above, plus you're listed in the film as an associate producer. And for $1,000, you are listed as a producer, and you get everything included above. You also get listed on IMDb. I gotta be honest with you. I mean, this is something that, I mean, there's only 30... Well, by the time you listen to this on Monday, it'll be 31 days left, so there'll be a month left. They're gaining some steam towards their goal, which is good. Their goal is really $5,000, which really isn't a lot, but it will be enough to get him to rent the equipment he needs. And this has potential to be a really fantastic project. For those of you guys who are into podcasting, excuse me, who are into not just listening to the podcast, but seeing what we do and how we do it, and everybody's got a slightly different setup and different motivation for doing what we do, it's definitely worth a shot to try to fund this and get this movie going. The potential is absolutely huge. And again, you know, with Joe Coletta and Dan DiMartino involved, there's a potential for some greatness. You know, so definitely at least some humor in there, because, you know, Joe's kind of funny sometimes. But again, check it out, Tiny URL, and No Station Required. Tiny URL, No Station Required. Give it a list. Go read it. Make a donation. Help my buddy Joe out. All right, let's make this happen. I'd love to see a movie about podcasting, and you know, maybe I'll feature my beautiful face. But enough of that. Again, time to get into some news stories. Now, apparently, science is now able to explain why men like women with curvy booties. It's really, we like a fat ass. All right? But, you know, it's a thing of beauty. It's something to look at, you know? Something to hold on to. And, you know, guys tend to be very possessive, even though we're not, you know, we're not always the controlling type of possessive and things like that. We want other people to know that this girl is with us. You know, it's primitive. It's kind of marking our territory and things like that. And there's really, it's kind of cool when some guy's walking by, checks out your girl, you know, checking out her ass, and you just drop your hand down there and just give it a little grab. Be like, yeah, this is mine. You ain't getting this. But apparently, science had to go and try to figure out why. But I think they wasted a lot of money in doing this. But hey, what do I know? You know, some guy got paid to do this, so good for him. But let's see, from the Huffington Post here. Previous research suggests that men evolve to prefer women with small waist and big hips, signals of youth and fertility. That's where they get the term birth and hips, baby birth and hips. All right. Now, a new study adds a surprising nuance to the evolutionary theory behind men's interest in the prominent posteriors, or more precisely, curved spines that create them. So basically, the curvature of a woman's spine kind of dictates how big her ass is going to be. Now, what they do here is they have side view drawings of women with certain curvatures in the back. And certain curvatures are natural, by the way. You know, we're not talking like scoliosis or anything along those lines. But the curvature is rigid in degrees, so they have starting at 26 degrees going up to 61 degrees. So apparently, some psychologists at Bilkent University in Turkey showed 300 men silhouettes of women's bodies and found that a curved spine with an angle of 45 degrees was the most attractive. Okay. All right. Again, I don't care how curved her spine is. I like a fat ass. I like a fat ass. It's a beautiful thing. And I really don't... I'm trying to think. Have I ever really met a guy who didn't like a girl with a fat ass? I mean, and I'm not talking like, you know, big, jiggly, fat, cellulite kind of thing. I'm talking about fat like PHAT, you know? I can honestly say I don't think I've ever met a guy who didn't like that. And if I have, I probably no longer speak to them because I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. But over the course of human history, women faced the adaptive problem of a forwarded, shifted center of mass during pregnancy. This is what the study co-founder Eric Russell, who was a graduate student in psychology at the University of Texas, told the Huffington Post in an email. Women with a greater degree of lumbar curvature were able to redistribute the center of mass to reduce the strain of pregnancy. Thus, we hypothesized that men should have a psychological adaptation to prefer these women as mating partners. Maybe deep down in my super, super, super subconscious, that was thinking, but I gotta be honest with you. I was like, that's about ass. A little something to hold on to when you're taking care of business, Give a little whack on there. Beautiful thing. In short, male preference for this specific anatomical form likely evolved because it enabled women to sustain multiple pregnancies without injury and to forage and to forage productively during pregnancy. Again, had no thoughts of that whatsoever. All right, at least not in my no, my cognitive thought processes kicked that in, but hey, whatever. Let's see, and to end this article up, this was actually published online February 7th in the Journal of Evolution and Human Behavior. To sum it up, they quote, "Men may be directing their attention to the butt and obtaining information about women's spines." Wait, I'm not reading that right. Hold on, let's try this again. "Men may be directing their attention at the butt, to the butt, and obtaining information about women's spines, even if they are unaware that is what their minds are doing." Dr. David Lewis, a psychologist at Bilkent University in Turkey, who's also the study's lead author, said, "Alternatively, men may have preferences for both lumbar curvature and buttock size. Future research is needed to better understand the latter." So basically, all right, I'm putting this out there. This doctor is a freaking genius. Okay? He is basically running a study to stare at women's asses. That's what he's doing. He's staring at women's asses. He is studying the female ass. If this guy doesn't have a fetish right now, by the time this study is over, he will. All right. This is good for you, man. Good for you. I want to do a study like that. I wish I can get funded for shit like that. Find a reason, after I want to see how successful Joe is with this Indiegogo account, and then I'm going to try to start my own little Kickstarter to do a study on the female form and, try to figure out why, guys, I don't know. Should we do a boob thing? Should we do an ass thing? Don't know. Let's kick this around, though, you and I. You and I, let's kick this around. Send me a message. Let's try to figure this out. We got to get somebody on board to, study the female human anatomy and figure out why we love it so much. But let's head over to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now we're here in March. Now that means in high schools, it's starting to come around to prom season. Things are picking up. My niece actually just got asked to the prom. In a very, very original way, and I gotta give this kid credit because, every girl I've mentioned this to was like, "That's freaking brilliant, this and that, whatever, whatever." And basically, what he did is my niece has this obsession, even though she's 100% completely rail thin. She has this obsession with Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. So, kid went out, bought her. I think it was like, trying to remember what the picture looked like. I guess I had to be a dozen donuts and some Starbucks coffee, and in the box, he had them write on four donuts, on four Boston cream donuts, the word prom, and then in the box it says, "There's nobody I'd rather go with than you." So of course my niece is gonna go to the prom with him. Good for him. Good for you, dude. I don't even know this kid's name, but good for you for originality. You got what you wanted. Now, if you touch her in any way, shape, or form, I will fucking kill you. Just putting it out there. It is what it is. But apparently, some seniors in this Albuquerque, New Mexico high school have voted to hold a prom with a communism theme, and they've dubbed the prom "Promunism." Okay. Now, I never sat on the prom committee in my high school, nor did I care to. I was busy just doing enough in school to stay on my sports teams, and that was it. And I could only imagine that when you come up with an idea for prom, for a theme, which, by the way, apparently the theme to my high school prom was prom. There was no, it wasn't like Under the Sea or To the Moon or any of that happy nonsense. A teacher would have to approve this. So there has to be some sort of school backing with this. And I don't know how this gets through. According to KRQE-TV in Albuquerque, reports that Cottonwood Classical Preparatory School students voted online this week for the theme. Senior Sarah Zachary says many of her classmates are jokesters and they wanted the prom to be funny, but she says lots of students are also intense about politics. You're going to a preparatory school, okay? Private school. Parents got some money. People that got that kind of money usually very, very into politics, because they don't want to get involved with the little man, and have to pay more taxes and all that other shit. So they tend to be very political. But again, these people have very twisted sense of humor at the same time. So that gets passed down. And listen, I'm not saying the idea isn't funny. Okay? It's amusing. But again, this has got to be approved by school officials and things like that. So you can't really get too mad at the kids yet. All right? So where are we here? There we are. I lost my spot there. I apologize. So the Cottonwood Executive Director Sam Obenshain, Obenshain, something like that, says the school students are in the International Baccalaureate program and are very academically focused. He says he plans to talk to the students to make sure that the communism theme is something they want to embrace. So it's kind of sounding like this guy's like, "All right, I'm gonna try to talk them out of it because I have to, but I'm really not totally against the idea." Now, this prom is actually scheduled for April 25th. Now, I guess in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, that's a common time to have a prom. I'm from here in New York, and my prom wasn't until June. It was like early June, too. I don't remember exactly when, but all I know is I was the only dude there rocking a purple jacket to my tux. All right? I was styling and profiling. I was a handsome devil, too. Then I got fat and, well, here I am now. But speaking about school, apparently we're gonna hop over the pond and go to London here. Thousands of students mark World Book Day by going to school in costume as their favorite fictional characters. But one 11-year-old found himself in a bind when he dressed as Christian Grey. He dressed as Christian Grey. Why an 11-year-old really knows who Christian Grey is, I don't know. Well, I mean, I can speculate, and, you know, he probably heard his mom and all her friends and things like that talking about this hot book, 50 Shades of Grey, and how they wish Christian Grey would do this to them, and whatever the case may be. I'm grateful my wife didn't read that book. She did go see the movie, but she doesn't talk to me about that kind of nonsense, because I couldn't care less. Unless I'm involved, I really don't care. The only kind of sex I like to watch on film is pornography, and even then, it's all internet-based, and it's free. But teachers at Sale High School in northwestern England sent Liam Scholes home Thursday after deeming his suit accessorized with cable ties and an eye mask unacceptable. So, I'm looking at the picture of this kid, okay? And really, all he has is this gray suit with two cable ties and an eye mask, which, you know, looks like a regular sleep mask. That's what he's got. Okay? And you sent him home because of this. Again, you all know who Christian Grey is. You know what the deal was behind 50 Shades of Grey. It's World Book Day. How do you not think something like this is going to happen? You know, I guess maybe you think maybe if it's going to be an older kid, but not an 11-year-old, again, whatever the case may be. Bottom line is, my kids can tell you they know of 50 Shades of Grey. They don't know anything about 50 Shades of Grey because, well, again, they're very young. But when kids tend to be that age, 11 years old, parents tend to lose their inhibitions a little bit and don't realize that, you know, there's probably certain things they shouldn't be saying in front of their kids, and this is one of those times. So the school said Friday the decision reflects the school's high standards in terms of student behavior, welfare, and safeguarding. It is said that Liam returned once he had modified his costume. So, by modifying his costume, it doesn't say what the exact modifications are. I'm assuming he didn't take the suit off. He probably just had to put the cable ties and the eye mask away. I don't see an issue with this kid wearing this costume. Okay? His mother defended the costume, saying children knew who Grey was from the media coverage. And she said that Liam walked into school yesterday and every child knew who he was. So that just goes to tell you, a bunch of perverts. Parents are a bunch of perverts. And they're not thinking about what they're talking about in front of their children. And I get that. I don't always think about what I'm talking about in front of my children either. It happens, you know. But he wore a suit with two cable ties and an eye mask. And he got in trouble for it. Okay? He got in trouble for it. I look outside on Halloween, and I see these preteen girls and teenage girls wearing the quote-unquote sexy costumes with the short skirts and the low-cut tops and things like that. But nobody says anything about that. Nobody says anything about that. But this dude walks into school in a suit with two cable ties and an eye mask. And he's getting in trouble. And then it's covered by the news. It's worldwide news, for Christ's sake. I mean, granted, it wasn't covered by major networks and stuff like that. You know, well, not the quote-unquote major networks where I'm talking about CBS, ABC, NBC, you know, TMZ and all that stuff. I mean, it is covered by two major networks now because it's going to be on MoreLikeRadio.com and RantEMRadio.com, because of my show and anybody else who speaks about it. But come on, man, really? Really? You're going to break this kid's balls because he wore a fucking suit and had two cable ties and a fucking sleep mask? That's just stupid. Absolutely fucking stupid. But, again, what the hell do I know? So, with that being said, we are now approaching the half-hour mark of the show. As always, I usually take my break right around here. So, yeah, I got really nothing else to say right now. It's going to take me beyond what where I want to be. So, we'll take a break right now. That Awful Podcast, MoreLikeRadio.com, RantEMRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effin' Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for The Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to RantEMRadio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at RantEMRadio.com.
And we're back. That Awful Podcast, MoreLikeRadio.com, RantEMMedia. Screwed up. RantEMRadio.com. Check out all the great shows on both networks. More Like Radio, you have The Cousin Joe Show, Hippo Juice, Dutch and Royce, My Time Now, The Sully Show, trying to kick around any others I could think of off the top of my head, Conti and Kenny, things like that. Once again, really should write these things down. I'm an awful person. on Rant, you can listen to my boy Phil Rea and the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, as well as the Wrestling Call-In Show, Freaks and Geeks. Or is it Geeks and Freaks? Freaks and Geeks. No, it's Freaks and Geeks. I'm sorry, it's just, again, emotional exhaustion has kicked my ass this week, and I'm not thinking straight. So, who wants to go on a panty raid? Yeah, we've all said that once or twice before, right? Anybody's been to camp? You know, let's go over and try to raid the girls' camp. Let's go on a panty raid. Unfortunately, when I went to camp, it was a Boy Scout camp, and there was no Girl Scout camp nearby, and, you know, one guy thought it was cute, and said, let's go on a panty raid, and we made fun of him because, you know, turns out, we'll just leave it at that. But in Cheyenne, Wyoming, a man and a woman have stolen more than $9,000 worth of women's undergarments from a department store. That department store is JCPenney. Okay? a spokesman for the Cheyenne Police Department says the shoplifters made off with just over 1,000 pairs of panties from the JCPenney store in a local mall Wednesday afternoon. They walked out of the store with a large plastic bag and nobody said anything. Nobody noticed anything. Alright, apparently they're saying that nobody noticed anything until several minutes after it happened, and the pair got away before police arrived. Police estimate that roughly 800 pairs of Ambrielle brand underwear and 200 pairs of Flirtitude brand undergarments were taken. How do you not realize this? I'm looking at a picture right here. And the woman that is toting this bag, and it's a large plastic shopping bag, is using two hands to carry it out. I gotta be honest with you. I can't even be mad at these people. I can't even be mad at these people. They are brazen enough to walk out, to walk into a store, throw a whole bunch of panties into a big bag, to the point where they can't even carry it out like you would normally carry out a bag. One hand through the handle, that kind of thing. And they got away with it because store employees were too dumb to realize that something wasn't quite right about this. Okay? First off, you know she passed at least at a minimum one store employee. Okay? One. I'm saying one. I'm telling you there had to be more. She had to walk past a few registers, some undercover security guards, and nobody said anything. Nothing. Not a goddamn word was said. Nobody realized anything. How stupid are people in Wyoming? Now, if you're listening from Wyoming and you took offense to that, I'm not trying to offend you. Unless you worked in this store. Because then you are a complete and total fucking moron. Okay? I don't give a good damn. If somebody's walking out of a store with a bag that they cannot carry, it is suspicious. Because let's be honest. Okay? If this woman had paid for these, however many pairs of panties it was. Well, what did I say it was? Like damn near, what was the grand total here? Basically 1,000 pairs of panties from what they're saying. They estimate roughly 800 pairs of Ambrielle and 200 pairs of Flirtitude. Okay? That's 1,000 pairs of panties. Okay? And that would have been put in, I'm going to sit there and say, at least two different bags. At least two different bags. Okay? How do you not, you know what? People are just freaking stupid. Absolutely freaking stupid. So, apparently people are getting annoyed with the snow. And like I said, I mean, we're pretty much done here with the snow in the Northeast. We're actually at the point in the year now where we just got a little bit. We just got another couple inches the other day. And this week we're supposed to start going into the 50s. We start flirting with the 50s. It's fantastic for me. I like the springtime. I like the fall time. It's cool. You know, during the day you walk out in a t-shirt, you're good. At night, maybe you need a sweater. Makes you feel comfy. Whatever works. But apparently, where are we going on this one? I think this was in Jersey. Right? I'm trying to find this one. I don't know. I can't find it. It doesn't say where it was exactly. But basically, this dude gets charged with assault because he blew snow on another guy's face. Now, when I say blew snow, I think you're all intelligent enough to realize you didn't take a handful of snow and go, hey, no. But we'll start at the beginning because, you know, you need a little backstory to know what's going on. Apparently, a good Samaritan was trying to clear the sidewalk of his disabled neighbor. He was trying to clear the sidewalk so his disabled neighbor and others could safely leave their homes and was attacked. This is in Ohio. I'm sorry. It wasn't New Jersey. Sounded like something that would happen in New Jersey, though. Police in Eastlake, New Jersey said 24-year-old William Imke was shoveling snow for his neighbor on Sunday. That's awfully nice of William, isn't it? Making sure his neighbor, just in case they have to get out in an emergency. That's a, nice clear path to get in or out. Very neighborly of him. Very, very nice. Nice guy. But apparently he started shoveling snow off the sidewalks in front of his elderly neighbor's house, and things got a little violent. Let's see, his quote here was, "I said I was clearing the sidewalk so kids could walk on the sidewalk to the school buses, and he said they could walk in the street." Imke said he asked, "Are you stupid?" And then when he grabbed me by the throat, oh, wait. And that's when he grabbed me by the throat and my face and shoved me back. So apparently, Mr. Myers was not a big fan of this. He had a slightly different story where he basically said that, I gotta read this because it's just the quote here is fantastic just because of the grammar it's used. I says, "Hey man, don't shovel my sidewalk. I don't want that section of sidewalk to be shoveled." Now that wasn't my stutter, that was the quote. Then he says, "Well, what are you gonna do about it?" I almost punched him, but I didn't. "Okay," he kept telling me, "what are you gonna do?" And I still had him. I grabbed him like this. I didn't touch him on his face or anything else, but I did grab his coat. So apparently Mr. Myers got annoyed enough that, he decided not to assault this guy physically. But he went and he got his snowblower, pointed it at this guy, pointed it at William, Good Samaritan William, and started to shoot snow in his face in an attempt to undo all the sidewalk clearing. Number one, this fight doesn't make any kind of goddamn sense. Okay? This guy is trying to do the right thing, clear the sidewalk for people, and he's helping you out. So that's what you gotta do. Why do you care? Why do you care? Okay? I mean, it really is kind of funny that he went and got a snowblower and blew snow right in this guy's face. And now he is facing assault charges. But why? It makes no fucking sense. Dude was helping you out. He was clearing the sidewalk for you. And I'm looking at the picture here, and there's got to be at least 3 feet of snow. And I don't know that it all fell in one shot. All right, I'm just putting that out there. It probably didn't, but there's snow piles there of at least 3 feet. And you know what? If somebody wants to come and shovel in front of my house, less work for me to do. Godspeed, man. Good that. Good looking out. Thank you. Okay. I don't care. I mean, hell, I remember a time when I was growing up, and when I was a kid, it snowed. You saw dollar signs. Okay. You shoveled out your house, and I shoveled out my neighbor's house because the neighbor on my one side was they were a nice family. Dad was a little on the elder side. He was a bit older than the mom, and I hung out with them all the time. I hung out with his daughters all the time, and I actually wound up hooking up with one of them, but that's a completely different story unto itself. And on the opposite side of me was an elderly Italian family, elderly Italian man. His wife was there for some time too, but she wound up passing away. So I would clear three houses worth. It was just what I was expected to do. But I would go out, I would do that, then I would take my shovel, and I would walk around the neighborhood. I see somebody shoveling with snow. They look elderly. "Hey, you want some help with that?" "Yeah, sure." knock it out for them. Sometimes it'll do you $5, sometimes it'll do you $10. Hell, depending on the size of the property, sometimes you got $20. I got $100 once just because some dude was stuck in his car with his daughter, and I looked and I was like, wow, she's cute. And I helped dig him out. Didn't get me nothing but $100, but hey, you know, whatever. Can't win them all, right? And then also, where I lived in Queens, I was maybe 2 miles away from the Jamaica Station, Long Island Railroad Station. Okay? Long Island Railroad was always looking for people to come over and help shovel. Help shovel out the tracks. Make $18 an hour. Fuck yeah. Money. This dude's doing it for free, and he's getting snow blown in his face. It's a bunch of bullshit, if you ask me. But again, like, if I'm the guy getting snow blown in my face, it's a bunch of bullshit. But I'm not, and it's kind of funny. It really is kind of funny. But remember how I always sit there and say that Facebook and social media are slowly becoming the demise of our society. People are stupid. People post stupid shit. People don't think when they post. And it entertains the hell out of me. We're going to stay in Ohio for this one, guys. All right. An Ohio man facing a slew of charges turned himself in after commenting on his own wanted photo on the sheriff's Facebook page. Yeah. See, this is the kind of stupidity that gets people. You got away with the crime, okay? Well, you didn't really get away with it. They knew who you were, okay? But, dude's name is Andrew Dale Markham. He was wanted on charges ranging from burglary to abduction. And the Butler County Sheriff's Office knew his previous residence and the areas where he allegedly was criminally active, but they needed help finding him. So they put some pictures on Facebook just to, you know, enlist the public for help. So, let's see. Here we go. The official photo that was posted on March 2nd at 10:04 a.m. was an update. Let's see. Here it goes. Time for another featured warrant of the week. BCSO is looking to apprehend Andrew Dale Markham on numerous warrants. He has previously been known to reside on Route 4 in Lemon Township, but tends to commit crimes in Hamilton and Middletown. The highlight of his recent criminal past includes burglary, safe-cracking, apparently that's a felony. He's also been dabbling in abduction, assault, domestic violence, criminal endangering, and so on and so forth. So the update was in custody as of March 3rd. So they put this post up and they just sat there and waited. So his reply, now keep in mind this is a heavyset white dude. His reply got, "I ain't tripping. Half of them don't even know me." This got 759 likes. You know some of them are sitting there sarcastic going, "You're an idiot, dude. How do you like this shit?" So they tagged him in it and said, you know, "If you could stop by the sheriff's office, that'd be great." And then somebody named Albert Dunaway replies to this going, "LOL, I find it funny. Robocops sending out speeding tickets. Meanwhile, our boys in blue track down criminals on Facebook and attempt to convince them to come on down." Their response, doesn't hurt to ask. And they're right, it doesn't. He agreed. He said, "Oh, fair enough." And sure enough, this idiot does exactly that. You know, they tweeted a photo of a jail cell and said, "Hey, we got your room ready." And it's adorable. Lovely little setup right there. You know, bunk beds, little table to hang out in, this and that. Oh, wifey's home. Hi, honey. So the best part about this whole story is the mugshot they took of this dude. He's actually crying. He is a grown-ass man who thought he was hard, thought he was a big tough guy, crying in his mugshot. I mean, to the point where around his eyes is red, his cheeks are red. He looks like a damn fool. Absolutely looks like a damn fool. Let's see. From the Butler Sheriff's Department in this, their response on Facebook, they put, Andrew Dale Markham will be off Facebook temporarily because there is no social media access in the Butler County Jail. He's turned himself in. And then, just to comment on the whole mugshot of him crying, Richard Jones from the Butler Sheriff's Department put, is it raining outside or is he teared up? Tough guys are sometimes sensitive. I don't get it. How do you sit there and try to be back in my day it was a telephone tough guy, now you have the social media tough guy. They're sitting there and commenting, basically, you're not going to catch me. You're an idiot. You commented on your own fucking wanted poster. Your own wanted poster. I got nothing else on this one. But we can head over. Here's the New Jersey story I was thinking about. Found it. So we go from this genius, as my wife is throwing things apparently in the kitchen. Just don't throw the bowl of spaghetti at me. That would be rude. That's an old O&A reference. Some of you guys probably get it. If you don't, tough shit. So we're going over to Trenton, New Jersey now, where a New Jersey appellate court says a man cannot seek damages for burns he suffered while bowing his head in prayer over sizzling steak fajita skillet at a restaurant. Anybody who's eaten a sizzling steak fajita skillet knows you went to Applebee's to get it. Now, it's obviously very, very hot. And this is where the downfall of society happens for me, okay? When somebody brings you something in a restaurant, they have to tell you, be careful, plate's hot. Yeah, I kind of figured that. You know, listen. If you got ice cream, the bowl shouldn't be hot. But if you're ordering a fucking steak or a steak fajita, plate's going to be a little bit hot. Not only is the plate going to be hot, but you ordered a goddamn skillet. You hear how hot it is as they're bringing it to the table. You hear the popping and the hissing and the stuff like that. Okay? So you know this is hot. Okay? Now, why do I say this? Let me read on. The ruling was made public Wednesday, upheld a lower court ruling that dismissed the lawsuit. The man claimed the waitress didn't warn him the dish was hot, but the lower court found the food possessed an open and obvious danger. In other words, open your eyes, jerk off. Seriously? You didn't see this was going to be hot? This happened in 2010 in an Applebee's in Burlington County. So the man said he bowed his head, then heard a loud sizzle followed by a grease pop. Then he felt a burning sensation in his left eye and on his face. He panicked, knocked the food onto his lap, causing more burns, but the burns didn't cause any scarring. Seriously? Seriously? How? Number one, what lawyer took this case? What lawyer would take this case? Some guy brings this to you, and you sit there and say, I think you have a case here. Yes, absolutely. 100% you have a case. We're going to sue Applebee's because they didn't tell you that this sizzling fucking steak fajita bowl was going to be hot. I don't get it. I don't get it. These people are allowed to breed. Do we understand this? They're allowed to breed. No bueno. Speaking of breed, apparently, as we head over to Utah, they're tossing around the whole medicinal marijuana debate and things like that. And listen, I firmly believe there are actual healing properties to marijuana. Okay, my mom suffered an injury a long time ago, and she could actually benefit from medicinal marijuana. You know, there are other people on the network who have friends or family or maybe themselves could reap the benefits of medicinal marijuana. Legalizing it, as we've spoken about in one of the last couple of shows, you're going to tax it, you're going to make a shit ton of money. Colorado's made like $85 trillion or something. I mean, obviously, I'm trumping that number up, but they made a lot of money. Okay? But apparently, in Utah, they're debating this, and apparently, one of the testimonies that were brought forth in the Senate was saying that it's going to get the rabbits stoned. Okay? It's going to get the rabbits stoned. All right. Let's take a quick look at this. Okay. Rabbits eat plants. So is there a chance that they're going to eat the marijuana plant? Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance. Is there a chance that the rabbit's going to be addicted to it? Now, when people say pot isn't addictive, I tend to disagree. If you like the feeling of something, and you constantly go back to it to obtain that feeling, it's an addiction. Okay? So if pot makes you feel nice, and you go and you smoke it again, and then still makes you feel nice, and you go and smoke it again, and so on and so forth. There's an addiction, okay? Just like smoking, just like alcohol, just like anything, like sex, you know? Hey, this sex thing's pretty good the first time, even though I'm awful at it, I don't know what I'm doing, and it's awkward. Okay? So yes, there is a possibility of that. And you're going to sit there and tell me that there aren't other animals who, let's say, they eat the poppy plant. It's opium. Okay? It happens. Animals deal with this shit. And to sit there and say, we don't want to legalize marijuana for medicinal uses because Peter Rabbit might become addicted to it from eating it and we're responsible for that? That's not a very good argument, dude. Not a very good argument at all. Okay? Nobody gives a rat's ass about Peter Rabbit. Okay? Although I will say this. I would be highly disappointed around Easter time if the Easter Bunny was stoned and tried to deliver food to the candy to my kids and, you know, all the jelly beans were gone, you know. The chocolate bunnies weren't there. Obviously, I say this in jest. But come up with a better reasoning. All right? The bunnies might get stoned. That's not cutting it for me. That's not cutting it for me. All right? I'm not against legalizing marijuana. I never really got into it. It never really did a whole hell of a lot for me. Okay? Not my thing. Do I feel like sometimes, because I deal with depression and anxiety, that it might help me? Yeah. And there's proof that it might. There's proof that it does help. It may not help me specifically. I may need something else, you know. It is what it is. You know, there is scientific proof that it could help my mom with her issues because of her injuries. Okay? So, I'm for it. If you can help people, I'm for it. All right? Legalizing it as a whole, again, I'm not against it. It could bring in revenue to the city, the state, the country. Okay? It's not as bad as alcohol, in my opinion. All right? People drink and drive, they run red lights. People stoned to get drive, they wait for the stop sign to turn green. All right, we've all seen that meme floating around social media and shit like that. There is some truth to it. Okay? The only thing that people need to be concerned about legalizing pot is the shortage of Doritos and Funyuns that'll probably become immediately after that. But on that note, I'm going to wrap this bad boy up. You've been listening to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com. Check me out every Monday on More Like Radio from 4 to 5 and Rant EM Radio from 7 to 8. Check out all the other shows on the networks. Don't forget, head over to Indiegogo. What was the site? I just lost it. tinyurl.com/ No Station Required. Donate to Joe Coletta's movie. It will be funny. He's a funny guy. Knows his thing. Make a donation. Help him out. And if you can't make a donation, share it. It will be on top of the Facebook page, especially by the time you listen to this. So make it happen. Help a brother out. Should be a good time. All right, folks. That's it. I'm out of here until next week. Thanks for listening. See you soon.